Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roberto.
Yes, bouncing off the walls.
Here we go. Hello, how are you, mate?
It is Monday.
It is Monday.
Oh, bloody hallelujah. Hell. Let's, apparently the surf's going to be good today.
Right.
I just heard from one of the locals yesterday.
Okay.
He said, today is the day.
Good on you. It might be a bit chilly. A bit foggy in some parts. Do you reckon?
You put a wetsuit on.
Okay.
Paddy?
All right. Okay, I'll do that.
Jeez, you're a warm, I know, you're a warm weather animal.
I've got to be 28. When I book into somewhere to stay, I ring them. I say, what's your pool at? And if it's not Bob 28, I won't go.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Just, I'll ring somewhere else.
And I keep searching. If they say that magic word, 28, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Love it. Especially on mornings
that's
like
not
this morning.
Happen today.
No, morning fog, mostly sunny. So if it is a bit foggy where you are, especially on those parts of the M1 heading to and coming from Sydney, let us know.
Tell you what, you reckon they've got it bad in Melbourne?
Mm.
We were just discussing it.
Yeah.
The Triple M kitchen's just run out of milk.
Fair
on a Monday morning. You know things are gone absolutely
haywire.
Pear-shaped. Yep. I was going to say the other.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't have to swear.
When you run out of milk.
Swearometer on there for you, buddy. Switch it on now so you can say, oh, sorry, that's the wrong one.
That's the idea.
But honestly, come on, no milk. You know what? Monday's a horrendous day to come into the kitchen at work here because you know, on Friday throughout the week it's all gone. And I was going to bring it and I'm driving to work going, what have I forgotten today? What have I forgotten?
You've got your little lump of butter and you dig into your butter with your hand.
Which I do.
Yeah.
Which I do. I forgot the milk. I couldn't believe it. I'm just going. So there was a bit of low crap shit. Oh, stop. Oh, sorry.
You can tell that Paddy's really upset about this.
Oh, I didn't need the sweatometer in time. That's your fault. You got me started, had I not?
You know when you've got a mate that just doesn't take much to wind him up and you just, all you do is feed the beast. Couple of crumbs and watch him go.
He's very upset. Didn't have the swearometer in time. Oh, what about money on the weekend? Oh, damn you. West Tigers, had they beaten the Central Coast Warriors, I would have had a perfect round. Would have got 8 from 8.
Oh.
8 from 8. And I used my joker and my tips on the weekend.
How did our celebrity tipper go?
He went really well. Our celebrity tipper was Steve from Tumby Tires. He got 7 out of 8. So well done, Steve.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So you didn't pick the Central Coast Warriors.
No one would have the way their performance or their form lately,
did you
mate.
Pick the Broncos?
No, not at all.
No one would.
I'm especially on my joke around, but I got 7
the
out.
The Bulldogs
eight.
Gave the Eels a bit of a scare,
mate. As did the Titans over the Roosters.
That's the thing. They just thought, it's a walk-up start.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Teams get a bit comfortable, maybe.
I read this story too on the weekend, Rob, where Paul Kent and he was talking on Triple M Footy. He reckons abolishing scrums from rugby league would be a disaster. I think they should get rid of the scrums. They're not even worth having.
Well, I heard what you're talking about. There was comments about that scrums are there to get the guys out of the way so that the backs can open up a bit of space for the backs.
Yeah.
But he said, why don't they start pushing? Because it's within the rules. Why don't they bind up and start pushing? All of a sudden, there'd be teams winning ball off the scrum all the time. If one team pushed, the other team would get the biggest shock of their lives.
Well, English Super League returns, and it's not going to feature scrums. But according to Kenny, he reckons it would be a disaster if the NRL decided to go down there. But I don't think it would be either. If there's anything... Look, 4 in Melbourne.
Get them all just to hold hands.
Yeah, that's it. Wear masks and hold hands. Oh, no, you're not allowed to hold hands because you can tackle.
If they all had to wear masks.
Are you going to wear a mask from today? That's another thing we're going
to
do.
If I go to Woolies, I'm going to put my mask on.
Good boy. Me
Correct.
Too. I haven't got one in the car, but if I did, I would have put one on.
Oh, I've got a spare one. I'll give you one.
Thanks for that, mate.
No worries. I'm going to show you how to make one. How about that this week?
There's one in the paper too. You can see that.
What?
How to make masks. In today's telly. Saw that.
That's good.
Yeah, hey,
there's a Friday night story for Better Homes and Gardens. They've picked up on that yet. 107.7 Triple M. G'day there, Kerry from Killarney Vale.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Good,
pretty good.
You.
What's happening with you?
I'm just pulled up at work and we've got the fire engines here, so nobody's allowed inside, but that's okay.
Oh, what's happened?
A while longer. Oh, just an electrical fault, I think, but yeah.
Oh, I thought my wife.
It's all good.
I thought my wife might have been cooking there this morning. Normally that happens.
Never met a bloke that likes to throw stones at himself so much as Paddy does.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to say is a few weeks ago when you had that What's in Paddy's Undies.
Oh, yeah. What's in my undies? Oh, yeah. That was... Hey,
oh,
Kerry, that
nuts.
Was... No,
in
that was... That, no, that was off air. When you called. That was the number I put up, you know, under assumed name and all that sort of stuff. In the nuts.
I just couldn't believe that you guys didn't make the association between the guy's name Jock and What's in Paddy's Undies.
Oh, where was... When was...
Jock,
when
Jock did, and Paddy's...
What did
Paddy was,
I can't
I
remember...
all the way to work.
When did I do What's
g'day,
in my undies?
G'day, Jock.
What's hello,
in
Jock.
The nuts.
Now,
maybe it was in the nuts. In the nuts.
Oh, in the nuts, yeah.
Yeah, had to be.
Guy's named Jock. Just laughed all the way to work.
Oh, that is... Well, I was talking to Joe yesterday.
Sometimes you can be that focused on the sun, you do not see the moon come up.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kerry, thank you so much for alerting to What's in My Undies, also a.k.a. What's in the Nuts.
What's in Paddy's Undies?
Something along those lines.
We should change this, actually. I'd love to see Paddy walking around with whatever's in the jar, actually down his pants.
Oh, God.
He does have a bit. It's too early in the morning.
Yeah, it is, Kerry. All right.
Have a great day.
See you, bye.
Good on you, Kerry.
Bye.
See you. Hey, what about Kenny? Paul Kent reckons abolishing scrums from rugby league would be a disaster. English Super League returns tonight, I think it is, or last night, and it's not going to feature scrums. What are your thoughts, Paul, from Narara? Good morning, mate.
You're talking about pushing and scrums.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, Paul.
Not league, union. One of my grandsons started year 10, under 10s this year. First time they're allowed to have scrums.
Yep.
Well, they won 14 tight heads. They didn't lose the scrum because turns out you've got to have big kids in your team to have a scrum.
Oh, well, no, I disagree with you there. I coached a few young kids, and if you coach them the right technique, it's amazing how good they are against the bigger boys. They can sit down. You get your hips square, you get your grips tight, and away you go. I used to say to them, tits out, boys, tits out, and they'd stick their chests out and then stick their bums out and their chests out, and they had to eye the horizon as they bend in the knees, and they go down, and they had the best shape of all, and you'd go in there and you could pack against guys twice your size and you'd put them off the ball just because of your shape.
True. Yeah, so far out of four games this season, I haven't seen anyone be able to push the bigger guys off yet.
Yeah, but, it's tough when they're little kids. There's a lot to be said for what New Zealand do. They do it according to weight. So the younger kids play a weight-graded competition rather than age.
Yeah.
You could get a Maori or Tongan or Samoan Express that's 9, that weighs 14 kilos and can do the 110 versus some kid that's 34 kilos wet.
Yeah, there's a lot of, what do they call it, mismatching with kids
and
their sizing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's part of growing up, I suppose.
All right, Paulie. Thanks for the call, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Have a good day, guys.
Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's been happening in junior sport for ages and ages when you've got a kid, say, who's 12, who's a massive, massive kid. But you can't put – if it went weight for age, you then can't put him up with an under 16 because the maturity level between 12
under
and 16.
Under 16 from where? From 12?
I'm just saying if you're doing weight for age. Sometimes it works, but the maturity level from 16 to 12.
They don't just put them on the scale and then say, oh, mate, you're up in the 16s because of your weight. Look, once you're much bigger than, say, another 10-year-old kid.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll say, right, where do we put this guy? And then they put you maybe a little bit forward. They assess you. They assess each one because not everyone's massive. Like, you're big.
Yeah.
Were you always that big as a kid?
Not in the right departments, though.
You must have a real hard time at school.
You're the first man to ask me that. He's gone to 6.
Put it away.
There you go again.
107.7 Triple M.
When one project leads to another, be rewarded every time with Kingcumber Mitre 10 Mighty Rewards.
Paddy and Rob Palmer's in the nuts.
G'day, Greg from Davistown.
How you going, Paddy?
Good, mate. Rob. Yeah, really well yourself, good. Buddy.
Good, mate.
Bit chilly this morning, mate.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Driving to work.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yep.
Fair enough.
Okay, mate. Sydney or Newcastle, mate?
Oh, Central Coast.
Okay. Oh, good. You're nearly there then.
You're beauty. Keep it local.
Okay. Now, in the nuts, we've given...
This is it.
Two clues.
Clue one. Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Clue two. Comes in all sizes.
All right.
Magnifying glass and patio.
Greg from Davistown, what is your answer?
Magnifying glass. It's the patty.
Magnifying glass.
Oh, I just heard that. It's not that cold, pal. I was going to give you a consolation prize, but I'm not now.
That is... Daddy's off with his...
I did send away for a penis enlargement, and they sent back a magnifying glass. That is wrong. You've heard about that. I tell you what, Greg, you and I are no longer friends.
Oh, Greg, you can call any time, mate.
What's that, buddy?
It's Goatsy.
Oh, Goatsy. Oh, how are you, mate?
Good, mate.
There you go. Oh, good stuff, fantastic, buddy.
You don't have any milk in the car, do you, Goatsy?
Oh, Goatsy. Okay. There we go again.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. Hey, buddy, thank you for calling, mate. Take care, mate.
All right.
Is your plumbing business going okay?
Yeah, business. Flat out.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
Good to hear.
See you, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, because he talks a lot of...
I don't know. Magnifying glass, great guess.
Oh, not really. We'll do it again tomorrow in the nuts. Thanks.
What's in Paddy's undies?
It is not calling Kerry. See what
you
started.
Thank you, Kerry from Killarney Vale.
No, it's called In the Nuts. When one project leads to another, be rewarded every time with Kincumber Mitre 10 Mighty Rewards.
Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer returns in 30 seconds.
What exactly do we do at Riverside Dental Spa? Well, we're a dentist. We provide high-quality general dental care, oral surgery and implants. But we believe a beautiful smile
is more than just healthy teeth. That's why we cater for the skin and the lips too. Through cosmetic treatments like fillers and anti-wrinkle injections, chemical facial peels and microdermabrasion. Our spa-like environment combines
luxury with the latest in technology.
Enhance your whole smile, all in one place.
Riverside Dental
Spa. The Undentisty Dentist.
Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M.
Yes, Monday morning, here we go.
Yes, indeed. Crack ahead.
Yeah,
get
very
through
much
it.
So. Yeah, if you don't have any milk in your fridge at work and you're dying for a coffee.
You know what? Most people would just walk down to the local coffee shop and get something, wouldn't they?
Like Tommy's?
Yeah.
Okay, just around the corner.
It is.
Like, you'd think if you had a producer and just say her name was Miss Kiara, you'd think that she'd leave a post. But clearly not. She's not even
going to
get
whinging.
All right, I won't whinge any longer.
Look, if you can survive till 10 a.m, you've made it through Monday as far as I'm concerned.
She's from Melbourne. And look what they've done to the country. To sign.
You hate yourself, don't you? Can't wait to see what goes on at the post-show meeting today.
What you doing down there? Oh, you got your little love things.
Yeah. Got my little love matchsticks.
Good.
I thought I'd pull another one for the week.
Because you bought these
pull
for your wedding.
Matchstick,
you got this as a gift. You got this as a gift for your wedding anniversary.
I did.
Didn't you?
Spark the romance, 50 yeah. ways to deepen your connection.
Yeah.
Pulled one out.
What did it say? You started it.
I pulled one out last week.
What did it say?
It said,
"Yeah,
do something spontaneous."
And what did you do?
So I had a surprise lunch.
Oh, good work!
Surprise
mate.
Lunch last Friday.
How did that go?
Nice.
Oh, you do it for your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm just pulling out a match.
Pull out another match.
This week's target, because I think one match a week is
plenty.
Enough to pull out.
Yeah, because you can't be...
No, I'm not pulling anything else out. So just one match.
Yeah, what is it?
Turn off your phone and the TV for an evening and talk.
Oh,
instead.
Boring. Boring.
That is going to be challenging.
Okay, turn off the phone. Okay, do that. Let me know how it goes.
Do you find that you can't talk for more than 10 minutes without... something going wrong?
Oh, Kirst. See, I multitask, right? Like, I can talk to her and still be on my iPad, and she just hates it. She goes, jump on your iPad, Dan. She actually doesn't talk like that, but that's how I hear it.
No.
It's like
you can't
that,
do that.
It's like that person off that. You know, what's the one with the head spun? What's that called? The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. We had a great chat, Gwen and I, on the weekend
good
until
work.
She said after 5 minutes, she goes, can you shut up now before you say something that's going to ruin it? And walk off.
See,
I went, right,
hey,
great. Thank
that's
you.
What you do.
Successful chat.
Good work.
107.7 Triple M.
I sent him on a mission, just in that ad break, to go and get some milk. And he's just returned.
Made it. For the hundreds of people that were on their way here with milk to save us, there's no need.
You've done it.
Turn around. Yep.
East Gosford?
Tell you what, the bakery at East Gosford.
Oh, did you?
Because nothing else was open.
Yeah.
It's 6:30.
Yeah.
I got you something.
Oh, what'd you get me? You got me a
little Portuguese tart.
Oh, brilliant. You can do this every morning.
No, I can't.
That you did that in record-breaking time. In the ad break and the news, you were able to race to East Gosford, get a litre container of milk from the guys.
2 litres of milk.
2 litres of milk. And some
plus two Portuguese tarts.
Unbelievable.
And I'm back.
Hey. Good on you, legend.
Oh, I'll tell you what. No, I'll try it next time, but I'll try and make the coffees as well.
Oh, mate, if you could.
No,
that would be great.
What an exercise.
We have got the forum out of the doors.
It can be done.
Can be done.
Never say never.
Yeah. Build it and they will come.
107.7 Triple M. When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
It's the meaning of fanging.
No, it's not. It's a serious forum.
No, it is. It is. Look, over the
to
last...
To do with wages.
Yeah. Last week, as you know, what happened at the Woolies Distribution Centre at Charmhaven up there. And
it's affecting over 500 workers.
Yeah. And we've been speaking to Brad, the union rep. Now, we spoke to Brad on Friday. Now, this because they want parity with the shed in Sydney.
Yeah,
the workers from the Central Coast.
And it required a 16% pay increase to get parity.
Yeah. And Brad, when we spoke to Brad on Friday, the union rep, this is what he had to say.
And do 5%, 5%, and 2.5% for the last 6 months. Woolworths rejected that, and they come out with offering 3.6, 3.6, 3.6 over 3 years.
Right.
The classification structure is nearly there, getting fixed, so there's a bit of better wage parity for the workers inside the shed.
Now, with that meeting on Thursday, Brad, when we were talking to him, said the Woolies people wanted him to make a decision for the members right there and then. He said, I really can't do that. So apparently it was shut down.
Yeah.
So it's shut down. The shed at
But you know when you go in and, you know,
Warnabon,
some blokes got a really good-looking apple, and he says, I'd like a dollar for this apple. And you go, oh, no, I'm not going to give you a dollar for the apple. You don't expect him to give you a dollar for the apple.
Yeah.
You expect him to come back with 75 cents. So they must have anticipated a bit of to and fro.
Yeah.
But they've rejected the offer of 3.6 a year for 3 years.
Yeah, it was really difficult. They were supposed to, according from
percent.
What Brad said, he said they wanted a decision there and then, but Woolies did. Now, we're speaking to Woolworths Media Man, Paul Graham, Chief Supply Chain Officer, later on this morning. But I want to know, in the forum, if someone gave you a 3.6% pay rise, would you take it? Would love to.
In the current climate.
In the current climate.
Considering that it's not what you want, but it's something.
What over that for 3 years, what are your thoughts? Would you take that 3.6% pay
I wonder
rise?
What percentage of the 500-odd workers that are, you know, in the middle of this, what they would have said without, you know, without the guidance.
Yeah. Would love to know, 13:27:10. I know we were talking about it on the weekend. A lot of people were texting us on Friday going, I'd take that. I'd take that. I would too. And we'll speak with Paul Graham to see what is the is their recourse action. Can they go back to the negotiating table and all
it's
that sort of stuff?
A lot better than the pay cut a lot of people are getting.
Oh, I know friends in Sydney are taking a 20% pay cut. 13:27:10, 3.6% offer on the table for over 3 years for a pay rise, would you take it? Would
not over
know.
3 years, per year.
Per year, yeah,
for
over three years.
So it amounts to, up around 11%.
Yeah.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the Forum.
Yeah, later on this morning we're speaking with Woolworths Media man Paul Graham, Chief Supply Chain Officer there. The lockout still continues after the workers. They were offered a 3.6% pay rise. 530 workers it affects on the Central Coast.
Yeah. A tick under 11%. They were after 16 initially. They were offered about 12.5% and they rejected that.
Yeah, it was rejected. Steve from your minor, g'day, mate.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
All right, Steve, what's your thoughts?
Mate, I would take 3.6 any day of the week just for the next 10 years. I'm contract driver in Sydney. I have not had an increase in contract rates for 13 years.
Yeah.
Jeez, mate.
That's mate.
Yeah.
But Steve, in this current economic climate that we're in...
13 years is a long time to be on the same income.
It's a massively long time, mate. It's not even a guaranteed income. It's just contract. So you get... It's like taxi work, I suppose, but we only get paid about a quarter of what a taxi charges.
Steve, I've got friends in Sydney who took, because of COVID, a 20% decrease in their pay in Sydney. Because of what was happening with the company, and they just said, hey, listen, would you guys take a 20% decrease? And most said yes, just to sort of keep the company.
Yeah, most people I know have taken a cut.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's had to take a cut. Everyone's copying a bit of a bashing. You know, there's sure there's some industries that are still doing all right, but there's loads and loads. My wife has had a cut of 25%.
Oh, wow.
But you move on with it. She only works for JobKeeper these days. She's in hospitality/tourism.
Yeah.
And, we're happy for everything we can get. But if someone offered us 3.6,
you'd be taking
jump at it tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Thanks for that, Steve.
The thing is, timing is everything. Guys. All right, Steve.
Good on you, mate. 13.12, 13.27, 10.
Hi, Kate from Tookley.
Hi, how
are
you going?
Yeah, good.
All right, if you're delivering milk to the studio this morning, we've actually got some. It's okay. Thanks very much, but we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, for all your offers, kind offers, Kate.
Thank you.
I'll turn around then. Okay.
It's a long way to come from Tookley.
It's a nice gesture to come from Tookley. That's right.
It's a huge way. Yeah. Hey, Katie, want to know, we're working what's happening with the Woolies Distribution Centre at Warrnambool. Yeah. If you were offered 3.6% pay rise for the first year, then the second and the third, would you take it?
Absolutely. I'm on my way to Sydney at the moment as we speak. I work in Sydney and I've worked in Sydney for 12 years and done the commute and I've chosen to do that. But I think what we, you know, need to reference in the current climate, I mean, Fair Work only offered a 1.75% increase to the national award. So, you know, they're already getting offered double to what the national standard is. So, you know, I think, you know, in the long haul, nearly a 10-12% increase over 3 years. That's massive.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It is.
But I guess we can't forget that what they are saying is that they're doing the same job as people in Sydney, but they're not getting paid the same wage. They're 16% shy of their partners in Sydney.
But I look at it and go, where would you rather live, Central Coast or Sydney?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I've chosen to make the choice of, you know, I do work in Sydney, because the wages are slightly higher.
Yes,
but
they are.
I think the cost of living is a lot more expensive in comparison to Sydney as well.
Of course it is.
So, you know, rents are $700-$800 a week and that's only for something standard. So
yeah.
I think, you know, there's a lot of other factors that contribute to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, in terms of lifestyle factors as well. Yeah.
And good Katie, here, the Kate. The workers have been, since Friday, were locked out. So we'd love to know, and we'll speak with Paul Graham from Woolies later on this morning, because I want to know, are negotiations able to continue?
Well, I hope they're progressing, because you can't have these people, 530 or more, out of work whilst this is going on.
Yeah, correct. So they're earning nothing at the moment, whilst they're being stood down. So.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, Kate, for giving us a call this morning, we have got for you a Just Cuts voucher and style pack valued at $70. So
thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff, Kate.
See you later.
Yeah, make sure get the kids looking their best at their desk this school term. Visit a Just Cuts near you.
107.7 Triple M.
Hey, look, I talked last week about a cat who had poked holes in the condoms in the top drawer
of
a couple.
And then the couple went,
The couple went and fell pregnant yeah, because they'd used them and the cat had put holes in them. That was the bloke's story, apparently.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. The cat and the guy are in it together.
Or maybe the wife and the cat were in it together.
Well, that's right. It was one of the two.
Could have been.
We could interrogate them.
Yeah.
We strongly recommend that you don't do that. Strongly recommend while you're wearing a mask. Yes. Anyway, so I was thinking about when I had actually blamed a cat for something. There was when I was younger. I had one of those back-wheel, rear-wheel drive cars. It was a Mazda 929, 75 model. 74, actually. Older than I was.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, I was 17. I was coming around this corner. It was a bit wet. And you know when those rear-wheel drive cars, if you just give it a little bit of gas around the corner, you know, the back end would just slip out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very experienced on the road at this time. So I've given it, and I thought, oh, this is good. And it's gone fully sideways around this corner. I thought, oh, no, here we go. And I've corrected, thinking this is what you do,
yeah.
But I overdid it. And so when the back swung back around, it kind of snapped back like a rubber band, and I ended up facing directly into the gutter. So I've gone backwards one way, overcorrected, and then gone both front wheels into the gutter, bang-o. Popped both tyres, oh. Boom. I thought, oh, this is terrible.
Excuse?
Yeah. Oh, so I limped home on the rims. Because I didn't want to get caught
sparks
being
flying.
An idiot. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was going really slow. I was about a kilometre from my house, maybe two. All the way home, pulled in the driveway. Mum's come out, what's happened to your car? Oh, Mum, you never believe it. I was coming around the corner, it's a little bit wet, and this cat just went straight across, and I swerved to miss it and hit the gutter. I think I saved the cat's life, though, Mum, I'm sure of it.
In the meantime, I ruined this car and all the front suspension and everything.
Oh, look.
Well, look, that does happen. So you blame the cat.
It was a huge error, but you I blamed the cat. Imaginary cat.
It's
there. It wasn't even a cat.
107.7 Triple M. Rob gave this terrible excuse as to why he pranked your car. He blamed it on a cat.
Well, the cat just... Well, there wasn't a cat.
There wasn't a cat. There wasn't a cat.
I was just a 17-year-old that wanted to get the back end sideways around a corner in the wet. Stupid.
Stupid.
And then overcorrected, popped both tyres on the gutter and limped home on the rims. Mum said, who was it? What happened?
It was a cat.
I said it was a cat.
Bet it was a black one as well.
Bad luck.
Yeah. Kylie, Wyoming. Hello, Kylie.
Hello, Kylie.
Good morning, Paddy and Rob. How are we this morning?
Good, thank you, man.
Going okay. What happened? What'd you blame an animal for?
So, well, I didn't blame an animal. It actually was an animal.
So,
we used to have a couple of trotting horses when I was living in Tamworth. When I was younger, before I even got my license, Dad had an old stout ute, which was... a manual, and he used to let me drive around the trotting track for practice.
All right.
And I couldn't get it into gear. And so I'm looking down, trying to budge it into gear, looked up, and there were three trotting horses in front of me that I was about to hit.
Oh, no.
So I oversteered it and went through two electric fences and a barbed wire fence and split a concrete corner post, which were massive, in half.
Jeez, Kylie. And the horses bolted.
And the horses had bolted.
Far
and
out,
Dad
they
wasn't
would.
Happy I'd ruined his shoe.
Problem was, you were looking down for the gear stick. It's a column shift, those old Holdens, isn't it?
That's it.
Just there on the steering wheel.
Yeah. No. Looking down on the floor for the...
But it happens all the time.
And Tamworth never recovered.
Neither of the horses.
Kylie, well done. We're going to send you to Luna Park, okay? Well done. You've got a family pass there.
Awesome. Thanks, Paddy and Rob.
No worries.
Thanks,
don't miss Luna Park's Wild Weekends. Limited tickets. Book now at lunaparksydney.com. 107.7 Triple M. What about last night, if you're watching Ninja Warrior on Channel 9 NBN, Victorian man became the oldest ninja to climb Warp Wall. So Clem, he'd got through all the stages, all the obstacles, and there's the Warp Wall just before him. Come on, Clem!
Yeah!
Oh, well,
Clem!
Just pretend your bus passes at the top.
Come on, Clem!
Visualize. Visualize.
The training run.
Here he is. He's the second attempt. Come on, Clem. Pump.
Clem there to go. Pushes the buzzer. The 51-year-old granddad is in the semi-finals. World's gone mad.
The oldest ninja we've ever had up the wall on Australian Ninja Warrior.
And Clem joins us this morning.
Oh, Clem.
Clem, come on, Clem. G'day, mate.
So what was?
Good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, good, really well, buddy.
What was harder, mate? Getting up the wall for the third time, or getting out of bed the morning after?
No, I felt all right this morning. Had a few beers last night while I was watching it, so it was okay.
Mate, for someone like 51 years of age to attempt going on Ninja, that is a feat, Clem.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't really look at it like that, though. I don't really feel like age is much of a barrier. You know, 50 is the new 21.
Yes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the most physical my grandma got was belting scones into a batter for, you know, like, just for a grandparent. I know you're only 51 and it's the new 30, let's say, but you know, 51, you're halfway to a ton.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. You know, I hadn't really thought of it that way, but yeah.
I work with Captain Obvious, Clem. So you now are through to the semis.
Yeah, with some absolute weapons.
Yeah, I mean, some of the younger guys, they're demons, aren't they? And the girls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're so strong. They're ridiculous. I've trained with a few of them and they are something else.
So, Clem, how did one train to go in Ninja Warrior?
Well, I'm pretty lucky because it's sort of about 4 or 5 years ago, it became my midlife crisis.
Yeah.
So I actually sold my house and built a ninja gym.
Paddy's taking notes here.
Okay, sold your house to the ninja gym, yeah.
And basically practiced ninja, just set up a heap of things to swing off, balance on, all that type of stuff, and did a lot of that. A lot of playing around on a big set of monkey bars, really.
Is that like a Robinson Crusoe setup? You were living in a ninja gym. You sold your house.
Yeah, but no, it's a gym that other people come to as well.
Right.
There's plenty of other people that come and train there.
Also, Clem, is there clubs that you can join and they've got ninja setups as well, and there's an Australian club that you can go and compete?
Yeah. So I'm a big part of that. So we have a series that you can compete all around Australia.
Danny, are your kids get involved in the ninja business?
Yeah, my youngest son has just started to get a bit involved. He's been a bit inspired to get fit to start doing it, and he's pretty handy. He's a wiry little bloke, so he should go okay.
See, Clem, it's very deceptive. You see these blokes, you know, that get up there and they're real muscle-bound and whatever, and I'm there, they're not going to last.
No, like me.
Like Rob, back about 20 years ago. And you go, they're not going to last two obstacles, and they don't. It seems to be guys who just...
The whippets
that seem to go so well.
Yeah, that's true. It's all about having good, I guess, strength to body weight. And yeah, it's the guys that are just, they got no fat on them at all. They're pretty lean, but also super agile.
Yeah, we used to have a little halfback. We used to kick him around a lot, but he said that pound for pound, he was the strongest man in the world.
Yeah, that's the same thing for sure.
Like an ant. Now,
Clay, imagine an ant. Do an ant warrior.
I'd kill it.
Yeah, that'd be perfect, eh?
Hey, Clem, I know you're from Victoria, mate. What part of Victoria are you from?
So I live in the, I guess you call it the eastern suburbs.
Right. How's it in
lockdown? In Melbourne.
Right. How's it in lockdown? Because you guys stage 4 today.
Yeah, so we're just finding out how... So we were lucky enough in stage 3 that we were able to do sort of one-on-one in the gym for our ninja stuff. We created this rig that went outside, and then now it looks like that'll all be locked down. So today's the day we really find out how much it's going to affect us.
Are you in a bubble?
Or it's going to affect me.
You and the other ninjas in a bubble, so to speak, to try and allow you to continue with the competition?
I guess the competition's kind of done.
It's all filmed beforehand.
Has it all been done?
Yeah.
I'll believe anything.
It was like when we were filming, it was like being in lockdown in there. It was lots of rules to try and keep everybody safe.
Yeah, so because I know with you guys in Melbourne today, it's a lockdown from 8 o'clock at night till 5 the next morning unless you're going for work or someone's sick. That's pretty major, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, curfews. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Never known of such a thing. It's just, it's going to be very different.
It's going to be tough. It's for anyone to foresee a grandfather of 51 getting up Mount Midoriyama at the end as the final victor. It's a long bow to draw, but
come on,
you
Clem.
Can go up Mount Rum and Coke maybe and watch from the side.
Look, I'll give it a good hard crack. I'll try and get there. Don't worry about that.
All right, mate. We might speak to you when that semi comes around. Clem Vertican, ninja warrior. He was the he became the oldest ninja to climb the warp wall last night. Thanks for joining us this morning, Clem.
Cheers, guys. Thank you for having me.
See you, mate. Quarter to eight. And I'll talk to you about how they film TV shows. They pre-record them.
Don't they have the, like, live?
No. Same with, you know how they do, Home and Away.
Yeah, well,
that's not real, right?
Hey, Dancing with the Stars was live.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And where did you get in that, kid? Oh, you won that. Oh, sorry. Everything comes back to how I won Dancing with the Stars 2010.
107.7 Triple M.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. That should be in the news instead of the other news.
Well, mine's just a quick one today.
Oh.
You know, what about this story of my life?
Sorry.
Here we go. Oh, what about Wayne Bennett and coach of South now, was formerly Broncos legend, a coach.
Is this a Broncos story?
Yeah. He and Darren Lockyer, they don't talk. He and Darren Lockyer don't talk anymore. That's it.
That's because Darren Lockyer has lost the power of speech.
Well, you imagine the conversation. Darren Lockyer, Wayne.
I thought I was asking.
I'll be Darren Lockyer, you be Wayne. G'day, Wayne, how you going? Yeah, no, that's Amy on the sideline, what do you reckon?
No,
that's how the combo. Anyway, they don't talk anymore.
No, all right.
And it was a super Saturday for one lucky punter who won $198,000 on a multi from a $500 bet. There you go.
Good.
Yeah.
In other news, okay. I was with my daughters yesterday on our bikes riding down. We were down near Manly, Manly Beach.
Yeah.
And I thought I was witnessing like an event happen in the water right in front of me because everyone knows how crowded it gets in the water down Manly Way, right? There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guys on surfboards.
Yeah.
All of a sudden there was this thrashing out in the water and we looked out and I saw them, humpback whales. I thought I heard them, and they were talking to me going,
I'm tired, I need a rest.
Ooh, sound like Darren Lockyer's brother.
Wayne Bennett and Darren Lockyer. No, but so I was watching these things, and they're out 200 metres off the beach. That close. And the guys surfing, you could just see them. One at a time, they looked up, and they saw this massive thing. It was 20 metres long, this whale.
Yeah.
And it had a calf with it, but no one really knew what was going on because it was, you know, big in the water. And all the surfers went up to it to have a look, and I thought, oh, that's a bit rough, going too close. But they thought it was caught in shark nets, maybe.
Oh, right, right.
Because it had come down south, and it was just parked there, and it wasn't moving like they normally just keep going.
Oh, so they paddled
this
out.
This had stopped, and it was stopped sitting there 100 metres from the surfers, and they all paddled up to it. There were 150 surfers within 10 metres of this thing.
Yeah.
It was a bit much.
I'm not a fan. But if they thought that there
was... Well, they did, but it wouldn't have taken long to realise that it wasn't sitting there.
Yeah, just taken.
I think
cruising.
A couple of skin divers went and had a look around it just to make sure it wasn't caught in nets.
How brave are those guys and all girls that they go down if there's been a whale? We saw the footage last week.
But look at I've got a picture here.
Oh, right.
Massive, massive thing. 20 metres long, this whale. Has to be.
Yeah.
Incredible. I called Orca.
Oh, did you?
Because I thought, I wonder if anyone's called, because there's 1,000 people just gawking at it.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's, because there was no helicopters, there were no boats coming to try and help. So I rang Orca.
All right. What did they say?
Thanks for the tip, sir.
Yeah, okay. No. Did the Orca ask, not saying you're putting on weight, did Orca ask when you're registering yourself? Time for...
This is the Great Debate.
Robert chicken, 6 days old and he ate it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it was 6 days old when I cooked it.
Mm.
Then I left it another six and then I ate it.
But you put it in some sort of curry. So.
Well, yeah, I did. It was in a buttered chicken. I cooked it. I cooked it really, you know, well. And then when I heated it up 6 days later, I put it in the microwave for an extra minute and a half.
Joe, that's right.
Just to make sure that the sauce was bubbling and boiling.
And every little bit of bacteria was gone.
Yeah, tried to nuke it.
We've got the great debate. How long does the chicken last in the fridge? We put it on Triple M Facebook page. Holly said, my rule for any leftovers is chuck it at the end of the second day. I think I'm with you. Jen says 3 days. Tracy says, if you cook chicken on Saturday, we'll eat leftovers on Sunday, but after that I'll throw it away if not eaten by Sunday or give it to the mother-in-law. Oh, did I just say that? Lukey says, for as long as you want, but would love
unless
to
unless it's green, consider it clean.
13:27:10. Rob, we have gone straight to the source. Singo from Singo's Wholesale Meats.
To the top, straight to the top.
Hello, Dean.
Hello, Dean.
Hey, boys.
How are you, mate?
Hey, look, Paddy's into me because he reckons I've left the chicken in the fridge too long between cooking and eating. I think 6 days in a buttered chicken's quite okay. What's the standard, industry standard, for leaving chicken cooked in the fridge?
Look, boys, what it all comes down to, everything from fresh has got a lifespan to it. You know, fresh chicken is probably good for 6 days. But what you got to remember, if you cook it on the sixth day, it's got more bacteria in it than it had on its first fresh day of
That's
life.
That's true.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
I hopefully cooked all that bacteria out.
There's no real right or wrong answer to it. It's if you cook it fresh, what you've done, Rob, like if the chicken was real fresh to start with, you'd have no dramas, which you didn't.
Yeah.
He's still with us, so.
That's right. Test until fail.
It could have gone the other way.
Singo, he's with us physically, mentally. Yeah. He's not.
Yeah, but he's on feathers.
All right. Okay, I'm going to put myself on the 2-week challenge next week. We'll see how we go. If I'm still here, bully for me.
Thank you, Dean.
Do you drink rum, Rob?
Well, I might need to, right?
You might need to.
All right. Good tip. Thanks, Singo.
See you. All right, boys. Have a good day.
Cheers, dude, mate. We got Deb from your minor. Hey, Deb.
Hello, Deb.
Good morning. Guys, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Great,
okay.
Thank you. What do you
rule?
Think about
What's
this chicken thing?
Well, listen, I bought a barbecue chook not yesterday but last Sunday and I finished it off Friday, so that's nearly 6 days later. Nothing wrong with it.
Oh, so you go 6 days with a barbecue chicken.
6 days with a barbecue chook.
Okay.
That was great. Back in the day, there was no such thing as used-by dates. We got cast iron guts. Come on, man up.
Yeah. See, thank you very much, Deb. Man up. I bet you're not saying that if you've had food poisoning.
I've had it, but not from chicken.
Yeah. Okay, not yet.
And isn't it funny, once you've had it and you try to deduct and deduce as to what food it was, and you'll never eat that again, ever.
Oh, maybe. Right.
Thanks for that, Deb.
Everyone blames sushi.
See ya.
Yeah, bye.
Good on you, Deb. We'll give you a Madame Tussauds family pass. That's in Sydney. Get up close and personal with your favourite celebrities at Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, not too up close and personal. Although they don't breathe actual real air, do they? Because they're wax.
That's exactly right. 107.7 Triple M. All last week, we'll keep you up to date what was happening at the Woolies Distribution Centre at Warnervale. We're speaking to Brad, the union rep. Now, we spoke to Brad on Friday. If you haven't heard the story, what happened? The guys from the Central Coast, or the team from the Central Coast, want parity with the distribution centre in Sydney.
Yeah, their wages are 16% less than the people in Sydney who everyone feels are doing the same job, but just in a different place.
Yeah. So Brad, on Thursday, he was saying Thursday night, met with the union rep, met with the guys from Woolies. This is what they wanted.
And do 5%, 5%, and 2.5% for the last 6 months. Woolworths rejected that, and they come out with offering 3.6, 3.6, 3.6 over 3 years.
Right.
The classification structure is nearly there, getting fixed, so there's a bit of better wage parity for the workers inside the shed.
Okay, they couldn't come to an agreement, so there's an indefinite lockout. That's happened since Friday. So basically 530 workers from the Woolies Distribution Centre at Warnervale aren't getting paid. To find out more, we're talking to Woolies media rep, Paul Graham, Chief Supply Chain Officer. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah, good, thank you, sir. Good, thank you.
Look, mate, just let us know off the top, what is the current situation at Woolies?
Well, the current situation, as you say, is that we have a lockout. We did meet with the unions on Friday. We put an offer, on Thursday, we put an offer on the table that was almost 12%. This was knocked back by the union. We also agreed to a number of their other claims, which were challenging ones, but in the interest of trying to get the shed back open, get our team members to work, ground on those, we are eager to get the shed open so we can service our stores and get our team members back to work. It is worth noting that, you know, our team members in Warnervale are paid, more than 48% above the award and 30% above any other similar job on the Central Coast. We believe Thursday was a very generous offer, but unfortunately it was not backed by the delegates. And we don't believe that that's the same view that our frontline team members have. We believe that they believe it was a good offer, but unfortunately we are dealing with the delegates who rejected it.
Paul, was it true, because when we spoke to Brad, he said that during discussions with Woolworths on that Thursday night, the people from Woolies said, you guys have to agree to it now without consulting the members. And then they said, well, we can't really do that. We've got to go back to the members. And then that's when negotiations broke down. Is that true?
No, it's not correct. I mean, we understand the process very, very well. You know, they can reach an agreement in principle subject to their members endorsing it, and that's what we asked them to do, that could they agree in principle that the offer we had on the table of almost 12% was acceptable. Then we recognise that they then need to go and get that endorsed. Yep. They said they couldn't agree in principle and then had a number of other issues that were outstanding that we believed had been resolved, and therefore, you know, the offer was rejected.
Mate, we've got 530 workers from the Central Coast. Can negotiations be reopened so, you know, they may say, listen, we will take that 3.6% per year over 3 years? Can that still happen?
Absolutely. I mean, we want to get the shed back open as soon as possible. You know, the union imposed 3 days of strike action, which took 3 days of wages out of the team members' pockets. Obviously, you know, we've had the shed closed, which is not our preference. I think the thing to note is it's very difficult. These are very large operations. You can't just open and close it at a drop of a hat. We've got hundreds and hundreds of suppliers that need to be notified. We've got obviously hundreds of transport assets that need to be deployed. So it's very difficult to open and close with the threat of industrial action constantly happening over your head. But we've got no stronger desire than to get our team members back to work, to get that money in their pocket, and obviously to be servicing our customers.
So, Paul, you're saying the 3.6% increase over per year for 3 years is still on the table. Where do we go from now? Whose move is it?
Well, we need to sit down with the delegates if they wish to come back to the negotiating table and be reasonable. And if they want to revisit the offer that we originally made when we went to the team members, we would like nothing more than to do that. But you know, the ball is in their court, because they're the ones that did reject the last offer, and they need to let us know that they're willing to come to the table in a fair and reasonable manner, and we will try and get a deal done that is in the best interests of our team members. As I say, in the current economic, with deflation at a record low, unemployment at a record high, offering almost, you know, offering more than double-digit salary increase. I think the average person in the pub would say that's a pretty good deal when the average wage at our DC is $85,000 a year. I think that's, most people would say that a request for, you know, a triple pay rise doesn't pass the pub test.
Yeah. Paul, should your offer be rejected, worst case, what is the worst case scenario? What do they do?
Well, the worst case scenario is that the shed remains closed, and that's absolutely the last thing that we want. As I say, unfortunately, because of the size and scale of the operation, these are very difficult to just switch on and off. You know, if we were to open the shed and then the union was to impose more days of striking, then it makes it virtually impossible for us to open the shed and close the shed, open the shed and close the shed. It's also unfair to the team members who feel that they're back at work and all of a sudden they're out of work. So, you know, stability is critical in this point in time. Obviously, a lot of people are anxious in the current COVID crisis, and we've seen what's happened in Victoria. Our number one desire, our team members back to work, pay them what we believe is a absolutely fair and reasonable, if indeed generous, pay increase and to service our customers.
Paul, if we weren't in this COVID-19 situation, would your offer have been more, do you think?
Look, that's very difficult. I don't think so. I think, you know, as I say, we're paying our people 48% above the award, 30% above any similar job in the Central Coast, average wage of $85,000. People working overtime and shifts can get over, you know, $100,000. We feel that's a very good wage in the circumstances. And we feel that, you know, an offer of over 10% wage increase in the current environment with record unemployment is incredibly generous.
Yeah, fingers crossed something can be worked out today, because there's 530 workers there from the Warnervale plant. And as you said, it's a huge domino effect. You think of all the families and, you know, and relatives involved in that. It's absolutely massive. So hopefully something can work out, mate. And we might even, if something works out today, we might even give you another call tomorrow, Paul.
Yep, no, much appreciated. That's our desire, to get our team members back to work and focus on servicing our customers, and hopefully sanity prevails.
Yeah, Paul Graham, Woolworth Media Rep, Chief Supply Chain Officer. Thanks for calling us this morning here,
Paul.
At Triple M.
No problem. Thanks, gentlemen.
Good on you, mate. Yeah, so fingers crossed.
Tell you what, there'd be plenty of people going hand over fist to take a 3.5% increase in wages every year for 3 years.
Yeah. 107.7 Triple M. The Ellen DeGeneres of Triple M has just walked in, Mickey D. Oh, don't look at him. Don't look at him. Don't
stop,
look at him.
Stop.
Don't look at him.
I just caught the
Oh, did you see him? Oh, because they have so much in common. Have you had your mint?
You
because
will pay for that.
Oh, see, hear that? See that? Toxic relationship with him and his staff here. And you've got to have a mint, allegedly, before you speak to Ellen, because she's got a very sensitive.
Well, you need one.
Oh, there he goes.
Don't
offend him. Don't offend him. Thank you to everyone who brought in milk to us this morning, because we had run out of milk.
No one did.
Thanks for that.
And Rob went and got some.
Rob went and got some.
I was amazed how quickly.
Also to the West Tigers. Yell. Seriously, had you blokes beaten the Central Coast New Zealand Warriors, I would have got 8 out of 8 in my tips because I used my jokers. So West Tigers, you can go and get. Sorry about that.
7 out of 8.
Hey, cool. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're the Ellen.
Sorry, I just got a bit, because I would have got a perfect score, and then you get extra points as well.
Do you really want to whinge about your mistipping on the radio?
No.
Come on.
Okay. Paddy and Rob Palmer's last calls. I'm a bit like Mickey D. Okay, we've got the Triple M Big Band. Oh, look what they're doing for us this morning, Robert. Bit of Wolf Mother. Joker and the Thief. You want to have a chat? 13, 27, 10. Get aboard. Here we go.
Hi, Kate from Tookley.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good.
All right, if you're delivering milk to the studio this morning, we've actually got some. It's okay. Thanks very much, but we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, for all your offers, offers, Kate.
Thank you.
I'll turn around then.
Okay. It's a long way to come from Tookley.
It's a nice gesture to come from Tookley. That's right.
It's a Gosford. Huge way. Yeah. Hey, Katie, well, want to know, we're working what's happening with the Woolies Distribution Centre at Warrnambool. Yeah. If you were offered 3.6% pay rise for the first year, then the second and the third, would you take it?
Absolutely. I'm on my way to Sydney at the moment as we speak. I work in Sydney, and I've worked in Sydney for 12 years and done the commute, and I've chosen to do that. But I think what we, you know, need to reference in the current climate, I mean, Fair Work only offered a 1.75% increase to the national award. So, you know, they're already getting offered double to what the national standard is. So, you know, I think, you know, in the long haul, nearly a 10-12% increase over 3 years, that's massive.
Yeah, it is massive. And the thing is, look, we spoke with Woolies media rep Paul Graham, Chief Supply Chain Officer, earlier on this morning. He said that negotiations still can continue.
The door is open.
So
the offer's still there.
Yeah, so fingers crossed something will happen, because we've got 530 workers here on the Central Coast.
Well, gee, I tell you what, if you're sitting back, you're not allowed to work at the moment because of this action, you'd be pretty keen to get back to work and earn some money.
Yeah, and I think it's got to be fair. So hopefully it'll work out, and you know, the boys and the girls up there at Warrnambool will be getting back to work,
getting paid. As we speak, computers are getting stronger and stronger, and who knows? I mean, you want those jobs to be there for the long term, but I mean, there's problems in Sydney. We hear that, allegedly,
the computers are
going to take over the whole centre.
It's going to become automated. Yeah, that's what the distribution centre. Yeah, that's a lot of people know that. A lot of distribution centres around Australia, that is going to happen. Because it's going to go very much like Amazon. Everything's just going to be automated. Anyway, the man who's not automated.
Amazon like you, Amazon.
The man.
The boss said something about your show being automated on Friday. I don't know. I just walked past his office.
Sounds automated.
The Ellen DeGeneres of Triple M Central Coast, Mickey
Don't look
D.
At him.
Don't look at him. And make sure if you ring him today, you have a mint, because he's very sensitive.
Yes.
Knows, allegedly. He's up next.
Sir Mickey D.
Here he goes.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, there he goes. See ya. See you tomorrow.
Go well, folks.
Okay, bye. Hey, guys, thanks for subscribing and listening to the podcast.
You know what? We're just realising how good this podcast thing is. You can listen to it anywhere you like, whenever it suits you. So go for it.
Anytime, anywhere.
I just said that.
I know. I'm just saying what you said.
Anyway, I reckon it's about time you put your shirt back on. I've got to go.
See you later, guys.
Hooroo.